were likely candidates for salvation who missed out because they trusted in themselves and refused to acknowledge their sin. Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus were unlikely characters for salvation, who obtained it through their faith in God's mercy, apart from anything in themselves. Thus, Luke uses this unlikely blind beggar to teach us that when Jesus passes by, we should cry out to him in faith, and he will be merciful to us. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us here this morning. We thank you that you died for each one of us on that cross of Calvary. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us now. Increase our understanding and increase our relationship with your Son and our Saviour. Lord, I am your mouthpiece. Let the words that I speak be your words. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. So, I will repeat what I just said. When Jesus passes by, we should cry out to him in faith, and he will be merciful to us. Now, there are three main lessons here. Firstly, there are opportune spiritual moments when Jesus passes by. If you imagine this, every day was the same in Bartimaeus's darkened world. He would get up, he would grope around for a crust of bread. Then, taking his staff, he would tap, tap, tap his way from his shack out to his normal spot. When he heard people passing by, he would cry out saying, "Alms for the poor, alms for the blind, alms for the blind." Somehow, he eked out a meagre existence, enough to survive. But this day was different. A larger than usual crowd was making its way past Bartimaeus. When he asked what was happening, he was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Bartimaeus instantly thought, "Jesus of Nazareth? He's not just Jesus of Nazareth, a great prophet. He is the son of David, the Messiah. And I've heard his marvelous teachings and how he's healed the sick and raised the dead and I've heard he's opened the eyes of the blind." Excuse me. Now, Bartimaeus instantly knew that this was his one window of opportunity. Jesus was passing by. Soon he'd be gone, never to pass that way again. So, like a rally driver who sees a brief opening in the line, Bartimaeus plunged through. He began to shout at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those near him said, "Quiet, old man. We can't hear what Jesus is saying." He shouted even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The ones leading the way yelled, "Tell that beggar to be quiet. The master has more important things to attend to." But Bartimaeus would not be silenced. This was his only chance, and he certainly wasn't going to miss it. Now, just as Bartimaeus had his opportune moment to cry out to Jesus and it would be gone, so it is with you this morning. Yes, today is the day of salvation. You may not have a tomorrow. Today, you are hearing the word of God about a Savior who invites you to come to him for mercy. Jesus is passing by. He may never pass so close to you again. He is the one with the power to open eyes that are blinded by sin. Call out to him today, and he will hear you whilst he is near. The second point I'd like to make is, when Jesus passes by, we should cry out to him with bold, persistent faith. Now, Bartimaeus knew the business of begging. He wasn't shy. He cried out for all he was worth. And when people told him to keep quiet, he yelled all the louder. He kept shouting and shouting and shouting until he heard that Jesus was calling him. His bold, persistent faith obtained what he was after. The blind beggar teaches us 7 lessons in faith. The first lesson in faith is that our faith should be in Jesus the Messiah. The multitude said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." But Bartimaeus didn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." No, he cried, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This beggar was blind, but he saw something significant about Jesus. He is the Son of David. Now, public opinion about Jesus was sharply divided. Bartimaeus had heard some argue that Jesus was an impostor. John 7, verse 40 to 43 says, "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" They would have sneered. "Everyone knows that the Christ must be from the offspring of David, born in Bethlehem." Others countered, "Surely no one could do the miracles that this man does unless he were from God." The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the eyes of the blind are opened. When he heard this last item, Bartimaeus asked, "Did you say that Jesus opens the eyes of the blind?" "Yes," they reported. "Just recently in Jerusalem, he opened the eyes of a man born blind." Can you imagine? Bartimaeus' heart leapt with hope as he thought, "This Jesus then really is the Messiah, the Son of David. If only he had come to Jericho and could give me sight." Now, there are 2 strands of support here that show us that Jesus is the promised anointed one, the Messiah. First, he was a descendant from David. In fulfillment of God's promise to David, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 and 13, where God promised to David to set one of his descendants on the throne forever. Now Luke has traced this divinic connection. In Luke 1, verse 27, we learn that Mary was a descendant of David. And in Luke 2, verse 4, we learn that Joseph also was a descendant of David. And thus the couple went to Bethlehem, the city of David, to pay their taxes. And whilst they were there, Jesus was born. In Luke 3, verse 23 to 38, we see specifically that Jesus' lineage goes back through David. In Luke 20, verse 41 to 44, Jesus spars with the religious leaders, asking them how Messiah can be both David's son and his Lord as well. The second strand that shows Jesus to be the promised Messiah is that he opens the eyes of the blind. Now Isaiah 35 verse 5 prophesied that Messiah would do as much. And Jesus had cited that reference when he told the messenger of John the Baptist in Luke 7 verse 22 to 23 to go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Do you realize in the Bible only Jesus opened the eyes of the blind? And there are more of his recorded miracles in this category than any other. It shows him to be the promised Messiah. The point is, it's important that our faith rest in Jesus as revealed in the scripture. Not a Jesus of our own imagination. The cults, they have invented false Christs who don't match up to the Jesus of the Bible. Others subjectively make up a Jesus of their own liking. But we, here in Hemel Hempstead, believe in a Jesus as revealed in the scriptures. Do I hear an amen? The second lesson of faith is our faith should appeal to God on the basis of mercy, not merit. Bartimaeus didn't stand before Jesus after straightening himself up and saying, I've lived a pretty good life. I've always gone to the synagogue. I've never hurt anyone. And I've tried to do my best. Based on all that I've done, would you please open my eyes? No. Bartimaeus knew that he was a blind beggar with no claim for healing. He had nothing in himself to commend himself to Christ. Like the publican in Jesus' parable, he just cried out for mercy. Luke wants us to see that we are all blind beggars before God. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And Revelations 3, verse 17 goes on to say, before God, we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This, perhaps, is the major stumbling block that keeps people from coming to Christ. They want to commend themselves and their good deeds. God has to open our eyes to our true condition before Him. We have nothing in ourselves to merit His salvation. We are spiritually blind sinners. And the only way we can come to Him is to ask for mercy, not for merit. The third lesson is our faith should be personal, not generic. Did Bartimaeus cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us"? Now, according to Matthew, there were two of them. It might have been more polite to ask for healing for both. But each man had to come on his own. Bartimaeus could have thought, "Well, I'm a Jew, a son of Abraham." He could have tried to get a blessing on the group plan. But he didn't. Generic faith will not do. The only way anyone can come to Christ is to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm the sinner. I'm the spiritually blind one. Lord, please be gracious to me." The fourth lesson of our faith should be that it's persistent to overcome all hindrances. You know, whenever you trust in God, you will encounter hindrances. Bartimaeus could have cried out to Jesus in faith, but the crowd sternly told him to keep quiet. But the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he shouted. This was his one opportunity to be healed. And he wasn't about to sit there passively. He persisted until Jesus heard him. It was like the widow in Jesus' parable at the start of chapter 18. She kept hounding the judge until he granted her request. Now, probably those who told Bartimaeus to be quiet could have been embarrassed by his bold outcry. It wasn't polite. It didn't follow social protocol. It had interrupted the things that Jesus was saying to the group as they walked along. Bartimaeus didn't care what people thought about him. He cared about one thing. He wanted to be able to see. My point is, whether you trust in Christ as your Savior or whether you step out in faith as a Christian, your faith will have to overcome hindrances. Learn from Bartimaeus to persist in faith in spite of hindrances. The fifth lesson is our faith should be specific in focus. At first, Bartimaeus cried out, "Have mercy on me." But then Jesus asked him pointedly, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's an interesting question to ask a blind man. But Jesus never asks a dumb question. His question was designed to get Bartimaeus to be specific in stating his need in front of the crowd. Lord, I want to receive my sight. This response also confessed that he believed that Jesus had the power to give him sight. Now, Jesus doesn't always grant our requests, even when they are specific. Matthew and Mark both record that the report that prior to this incident, James and John had come to Jesus and asked him to do whatever they would request. Jesus' response was, "What do you want me to do for you?" They answered, "Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus didn't grant this request. It wasn't for his glory to grant it, but it was for his glory to grant salvation by the free grace to a blind beggar who cried out, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." Be specific. Tell the Lord that you have sinned and you want his forgiveness. And he will say, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." The next lesson in our faith, it should be bold in its request. When you think about it, what a bold thing to ask to receive sight. It reminds me of the story of Naaman, the Aramean army captain found in 2 Kings chapter 5, who was a leper. He had a servant girl from Israel who told him of the prophet Elisha, who could heal his leprosy. So Naaman took a generous gift along with him, with a letter from his king to the king of Israel that said, "Please cure my servant of his leprosy." The king's reaction was, the king of Israel tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of leprosy?" What a bold request. No one but God could do such a thing. Precisely. God is in the business of answering impossible requests that bring glory to his name. As we see in Luke 18, verse 27, salvation is impossible with men, but not with God. Like Bartimaeus, come to God as a blind, begging sinner and cry out, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." What men cannot do, God can and will do. He will say, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." One reason Bartimaeus' faith was so bold was that he felt so keenly his deep need. He lived each day in total darkness. Those who could see didn't need to feel the desperation that Bartimaeus felt. He could walk out into the bright sunshine, and it was pitch black for him. The story is told of an American actor, Bill Cosby, staying in the same hotel as the blind singer, Ray Charles. Now, he decided to stop by Ray's room and say hi. He knocked on the door, and Ray yelled, "Come in!" Cosby walked in and heard Ray's electric razor going in the bathroom. But the lights were off, and the entire place was pitch black. or thinking. Cosby blurted out, "Hey Ray, why are you shaving in the dark?" And then realization hit him. "Oh, been so dumb." But Ray good-naturedly called back, "I do everything in the dark, my brother." It's when we realize our true spiritual condition that we will sense our desperate need for Jesus Christ. Deliverance by man is in vain. We need deliverance by God. And so we must cast ourselves totally on Him. The last lesson is our faith should result in glory to God for His answer. As soon as Bartimaeus gained his sight, did he say, "Oh, thanks, I feel a lot better now," and took off to enjoy his life and have all the fun that he'd been missing? Not exactly. Immediately, he began following Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people who saw what had happened gave praise to God. The mark of true faith in Jesus Christ is that the person who got saved gives glory to God and begins a new life of following Jesus, in which others are led to praise God. Bartimaeus didn't go around telling everyone about his great faith. Yes, Jesus says that his faith saved him. But clearly he means that Bartimaeus' faith was the means through which salvation came to him. It was God's power through Jesus that gave him his sight. The power and will to heal rested completely with the Lord. Faith is just the hand that receives God's gift of eternal life. And even faith is a gift from God. No one here can boast in his great faith. We can only glory in God who opened our eyes and showed us his great mercy. Now, we've seen there are opportune spiritual moments when Jesus passes by. At such times, we should cry out to him in faith. And finally, when we cry out to Jesus in faith, he will be merciful to us. As soon as Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry, he stopped and he stood still. Just think, though, he was walking with a crowd of people heading towards Jerusalem, where he knew he would suffer and die. He could have thought, "I don't have time for this man. Besides, can't he see that I'm teaching the multitudes?" But Jesus stopped. He will always stop for a needy sinner who cries out to him for mercy. He didn't tell Bartimaeus to go clean up first. He didn't prescribe a plan of penance for him to work off his sins. Instantly, by his great mercy, he granted Bartimaeus' request. Jesus' words, "Your faith has saved you," have a double meaning. On one level, he was saved physically, so that he could now see. But on a far deeper level, his faith had saved him spiritually. And that, my friends, is the greater miracle. Instantly, God forgave his sins and imparted a new life to him. making him a child of God. As Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Romans 10 verse 13 says, "God promises that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Let us leave the passage from Luke with solemn self-inquiry. If we would know whether we have any part or lot in Christ, let us look at our lives. Whom do we follow? What are the great ends and objects for which we live? Remember, the man who has real hope in Jesus may always be known by the general bias of his or her life. And I pray that you will see Jesus passing by here today, and that this poor, blind beggar will teach you to cry out in faith, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." If you do, he will. You know, I have to sing one more song. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Oh, how he wants to